Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Some kids have and some kids don't, and
some of us are wondering why. Why, Doug, why?
Because Middle Tennessee State has a good quarterback.
Yeah. Feisty back there. Cubs are going to win it all. I think so. We need some help. Could use a center fielder.
Cubs?
Cardinals.
Cardinals.
Well, they may address that. Bullpen help, Zach Duke, Tommy John out of nowhere.
Yeah.
William,
heck of a way to start your offseason.
T. Gilman. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After. My name is Timothy Michael McKernan.
What's up, Tim?
I'm spread too thin. And
how so?
Three.
You have too much on your plate.
Yep. Yep.
Well, what are you going to do about that?
It's going to go to Vegas.
But anyway, I'm one of the hosts of this show. The other two gentlemen in here, Jimmy the Cat Hayes and Douglas Elvin Vaughn, and then we have a three-man producing team, John L. Seymour.
What's the L stand for?
Leroy.
Leroy? Is that right?
That's correct.
That's not right, is it?
Kenneth I. Strode, that stands for Iggy.
Right.
And then the Plow Flame.
What's the L stand for in Seymour?
I said Leroy.
It really is Leroy?
Rube.
Well, it could be. I don't want to make fun of the name, if that's his name.
Terry Yake is going to join us at 9:15, and then we're giving away two tickets to the Blues and Flames on Tuesday night. Doug, think about this as I intro the Colonel, who is presented by Bud Light, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Every year since the turn of the century, St. Louisans have either had the Cardinals in the postseason or Missouri in the top five at some point in the college football season. 2015, 2014, 2013, 2012, 2011, Cardinals in the postseason. They weren't in the postseason in 2010, but they beat number one Oklahoma, and they did ascend into the top five. 2009, Cardinals in the postseason. 2008, Missouri got to the top five, but lost to Oklahoma State, then got worked by Texas, and then it was a decline down to the Alamo Bowl. 2007, sure. Cardinals not in the postseason, but there was Missouri, number one in the country after beating Rock Chalk Jayhawk at Arrowhead Stadium. 2006, World Champions. 2005, NLCS. 2004, World Series. 2003, not in the playoffs, but Missouri. I don't think they got in the top five, but they did get ranked after beating Nebraska for the first time in, I think, 72 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2002, 2001, 2000, the Cardinals in the playoffs. This year, we ain't got nothing. We ain't got nothing. It's time to talk about nothing with the Colonel. Hey, Colonel.
That was both the longest and saddest intro that I think I've ever had on a radio show.
You ought to hear my intro to Julianne tomorrow when she joins us. But the Colonel is with us here, and I was enjoying your Twitter session this weekend because it seemed like you were having a nice time. And the one thing I want to tell you, Colonel, is I was just telling Doug and the Cat, is that I've noticed a lot of times when you quote retweet somebody, I can't see it because that guy's such a jackass, I'd already blocked the person.
Yeah. My approach to Twitter long ago became, if somebody is just over the top, stupid or personal or offensive, the best way, it's generally somebody with, and look, the number of followers you have does not make you a better or worse person. But in this case, it's generally somebody with like less than 200 followers. So if I retweet what they say to my 24,000 followers, I no longer need to go after that person. all the people that follow me just make him feel so bad that he deletes his tweet or his entire account or just goes away. Mission accomplished. So that's the best approach.
Well done, Colonel.
By the way, congratulations on 24,000 followers. I think that does make you a better person.
Yeah,
it makes my cyber, fill in the blank much bigger, certainly. But it really hasn't, I have a lot of people that say, hey, I read all your tweets all the time. I really enjoy them. I'm like, well, that's cool. I don't get paid for those. So maybe if you'd also sign up for my website, that would be fantastic.
You don't get paid per tweet?
No one pays me to tweet. I have not yet monetized Twitter.
What was the focus of the angry tweets this weekend? I mean, obviously people are pissed, but what was the focal point?
Well, I had two, really. One Big 12 fan from the story I wrote last Thursday, very unhappy with me for just spinning Missouri PR. And
what were they? What were these Big 12? What was the focus of the story that pissed off the Big 12 people?
That was the 12,000-word epic novel I did last week on interviewed Jay Nixon and Mike Alden and a number of Brady Deaton, a number of other people, and did an oral history of Missouri's move to the SEC, kind of the story behind this story. And so I had some Big 12 people, mostly Kansas people, very unhappy with that. But then one Saturday came, the main thing was, and look, I get being upset after that game. You should be upset after that game. Missouri should not lose to Middle Tennessee. The talent is, our talent's down is not a valid argument there. You should always have more talent than Middle Tennessee. But Barry Odom is not getting fired. And to waste my time with, are we going to fire a guy 7 games into his career? No, and nor should you. This is ridiculous. I don't have time for that.
What exactly happened Saturday? How could they have had such a defensive meltdown?
That's a great question, guys. I mean, they couldn't do anything right. On drives where Missouri only got a field goal, you thought, well, they're really in a hole now because they were simply doing nothing to stop Middle Tennessee. I mean, Middle Tennessee ran for 300. They threw for 280. So, by the way, did Missouri. And my other source of frustration was, how come Marvin Zanders doesn't get more playing time? And I made Twitter very angry and said, look, if you think Marvin Zanders not getting enough snaps was one of the reasons Missouri lost that game, I don't think you understand football. And that's not an insult to Marvin Zanders. But that game, Missouri scored 45 points and had 620 yards. That wasn't on the offense on Saturday.
Yes, Shear got hurt very early. And, boy, yeah. Apparently that made a huge difference.
Well, Shear got hurt, and John Gibson, who has been playing very well at cornerback opposite Arion Penton, also got hurt. And, I do think those two things made a difference. Again, I still think you should be good enough to win that game. Florida and LSU, it was brutal because of the margin of defeat. But losing those games is whatever. We all expected them to lose those games. But I think I said last week on your guys' show, if you lose to Middle Tennessee, this is a whole nother level of problem. And they did. I mean, you ought to beat Middle Tennessee. They're a good, solid team. And I said going in, they're good enough to win this game maybe 2 or 3 times out of 10. And Saturday was one of those times, and they do deserve credit for that. But Missouri should win that game. They just should.
Colonel, you've known Barry Odom for a while, covered him when we were in school there and he was playing, and you've gotten to know him over the years with all his coaching stints in the Columbia area and then at the University of Missouri on Gary Pinkel's staff. Your observations and or conversations with Barry Odom after the defeat at homecoming Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, all I had, obviously, was the news conference. I haven't talked to Barry other than that. He seemed pretty down, which you would expect. A little bit less fire, maybe, than we'd seen after, say, the Georgia game, the LSU game, even the Florida game. I think he was angry. I think it was, we're going to come back and fight harder. And I'm not saying they won't come back and fight harder, but after that game, it seemed a little different to me. It seemed a little bit more, I mean, he even said, I never would have expected this. You know, I think Barry Odom had a realistic view of this team coming into the season. I think he knew, look, 7 wins would be a good season. We're not great. We got a lot of holes on the roster. We're changing some things. It's going to take a minute, all that. But nobody expected to be sitting here 2-5 off a loss to Middle Tennessee in which you gave up 50 points. Nobody saw that coming.
You see any more wins on the schedule? I hear they're favored to beat Kentucky. I don't know how, but do you think they got any wins in them?
I mean, Tim knows a lot more about Vegas and how they do things than I do. I'm surprised by that line. Here's where I'm at. A lot of people have asked me that, and I don't know that I will individually pick Missouri to win any one game. In other words, you know, I look at every game individually and think, yeah, I might pick Missouri to lose that, but I think they'll find one somewhere along the line. I mean, whether it's Kentucky or Vandy at home, you know, those are the two most likely. At South Carolina is not impossible, although this team hasn't shown anything on the road, but I think they'll find one somewhere. I don't really see them finding more than one.
Where is the defensive fix? If you watch them seemingly unable to stop Middle Tennessee, how do they get past that? How do they try to right the ship?
Yeah, I don't know, guys. And that's the problem. The scheme that Damani Cross has installed, clearly they're not picking it up. It's not working. And I've said since the end of that game, I don't know enough about X's and O's of football to tell you what the problem is, whether they need to change the scheme, whether they need to change personnel, whether they need to change what they're serving at lunch or the bedtime lullaby they sing, whatever. But something has to change because what you are doing is not working. You know, I mean, look at the offense coming into this week. We all said something's got to change. Well, you know what changed? They ran the ball a lot more. They ran the ball like over 50 times for 300 yards, and they discovered maybe that's something they can do, and maybe we don't need to have Drew Lock, who's right now not a great quarterback, winging the ball all over the field to not great receivers. Maybe we should lean on this running game, and maybe we can do that. And that works. So defensively, I don't know specifically what they need to change, but clearly they need to change something.
Yeah, Crockett had another big game running the ball. Do they have something in him, or is it hard to tell when they play this kind of competition?
Oh, no, I think they have something in him. And look, I want to be clear. I said coming into this game, I'm not going to tell you the offense is fixed no matter what they do against Middle Tennessee, because Middle Tennessee's not a good defensive football team. They've given up points to almost everybody they've played. So I'm not telling you that the offense is fixed. But look, Crockett and Witter were both really good. I can't remember the exact numbers anymore. I think it was like 260 some odd yards between them. They clearly have something. I think that's good. Now, Kentucky's defense isn't very good either. I think they should move the ball there. Vandy and South Carolina have better defenses, so that might be a little more of a test. But one way or another, Demaryius Crockett is the first Missouri running back to get 145 yards in back-to-back games since James Wilder. And look, some of these other guys have played bad teams too, you know, and they didn't do it. So I think they've definitely got something there. I think he's a high-level SEC running back.
Colonel, set the over-under for attendance for this showdown with the Wildcats.
Well, are we talking announced or what we actually think is there?
What we actually think is there.
Okay, because they're never going to announce, as Dave Matter brought up last week, they're never going to announce under 45,000 because they have 45,000 season ticket holders. So it won't be announced below that. I think there's a decent chance it could look like it is less than that. I think they'll get over 40. I guess I set the over-under around 42, and we'll see. Now, if they lose this one, lose to South Carolina, that Vandy game is going to be ugly. And the one that's really going to be ugly is they're clearly, I think, going to go into Arkansas playing for nothing. I mean, I don't see them being 5-6 going into that game and playing for Shreveport or anything. That's the day after Thanksgiving. The students aren't going to be there. A lot of people are going to go, yeah, I got family in town. I can't invest 4 hours on the road and 5 hours in Columbia for this. I mean, if they go into that Arkansas game with fewer than 5 wins, which I fully expect, I mean, guys, you could be talking about crowds that look like they were when Tim and I grew up.
Can you tie any of the problems they're having on the field right now to the problems they had last year? I mean, is it too early to judge the recruiting from that?
Are you talking about tying it to the protests and the off the field stuff?
Uh-huh.
I don't – on the field, no, I don't think so. I mean, that clearly is something that hangs over this program, and it's always there. It clearly is tied to the attendance issues. I don't really think it's tied to the on-field performance yet because, I mean, look, some of the guys that are playing pretty well, you know, Crockett, Demetrios Mason, some of these guys, Cale Garrett, are guys that were in that first recruiting class of Barry Odom. So that's a good sign, I think, for the future. But, yeah, I don't think the protests and all that are impacting the on-field performance. But I do think, you know, that obviously it's something that's just always over this program and is going to be probably for another couple of years. And the other question you have to have now is, look, last week I still got the sense that this was a locker room and a team that was together. But after losing to Middle Tennessee and finishing 2-5, and now Mike Shearer, who we should find out today, but look, he's clearly one of the leaders and one of the guys that tries to hold that team together. And I don't think he's going to be there, at least for a few weeks and maybe for the season. I mean, where does this locker room go from here, especially with a first-year head coach and a new staff that didn't recruit the vast majority of these kids? I think it's got a chance to get kind of ugly.
Gabe DeArmond brought to you by Bud Light every Monday here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, talking Missouri football. Colonel, we always appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
All right, guys. Thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
Peace.
All right, Gabe DeArmond,
PowerMizzou.com is where you can read that, Colonel, Doug. What's up, Colonel?
What's up, Doug?
Nice. See?
That's how he'd come back.
Right? Yeah, see? That's how it works. Well, the old Nittany Lions pulled an upset on Saturday night while most of the country was focused on Wrigley Field.
Yeah, they whipped Ohio State, didn't they?
Yep.
I kind of like to see Urban Meyer get beat. I'm not a huge fan of Urban Meyer. I think he's got a bit of a tood.
Don't you need a tood to be a successful head coach, Doug, a little bit?
I don't think so. No, Bill Self doesn't have a tood, does he? There's a lot of good coaches that don't. Like Nick Saban thinks, yeah, he invented the game. He's got a major attitude. Yeah, I don't care for that. Those are probably the two best coaches in the game right now, but I don't think you necessarily have to be ornery and nasty and mean-spirited at times to the press.
What if Seymour had booked Nick Saban this morning? He's sitting in the chair where Iggy is. What would you say to him as a life coach?
Where does a toot come from, fellow? And the follow-up is, frankly, who's big for you?
You were able to ask too short that on Friday. Ohio State probably still alive for the national championship in the college football playoff, but they lose to 21-point underdog Penn State in Happy Valley on Saturday. A&M also losing, but they lost to Alabama, where they were a 17-18-point underdog.
Did Bama cover? Or?
Alabama did cover, although some people, I guess, did have it at 19, so they pushed. I don't know.
We had 18 when we did our picks.
So I lost. I don't know who you had.
I had Bama.
Now, there you go. Roll Tide then.
Yeah, and my lock came through again.
So did mine. I had Navy.
Navy shipped it?
Yeah. We don't count ours, but I haven't gotten one of those wrong in years.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
No, I go back to the 50s.
Tim, what are the odds on the Indians beating the
Cubs?
I'm
trying to look
that
up, but I was just texting with the Seamaster that I think. Is our internet down, Seamaster? No? Well, what's going on here with Bovada then?
Because I might want to get a small taste on the Indian.
Now it's working a little bit better. I don't know. I'm trying to get on there.
If I gave you...
Maybe something's wrong with Bovada.
If I gave you money, since
I'm
not...
No, I'm not getting in that. Set up your own account. I'm not doing that.
All right. I'll find
it's
someone to do it.
It's such an effing hassle when people ask me to do that. Now, I guess if I'm in Las Vegas, but I won't be in Las Vegas until Friday. So, that's a different thing.
Not a big deal, but I was thinking...
If I'm in Las Vegas, I'll do it.
Everyone's picking the Cubs. No one thinks the Cubs can be beaten. It seems like an
opportunity. That's why I'm trying to get on Bovada right now to see, but I guess maybe something's wrong with Bovada. I don't know. I would imagine the Cubs are I would guess minus 140, something like that.
I think I saw 132 last night.
Okay. Yeah, that would make sense.
Doug, why don't you contact your bookie and get a small test?
I haven't got a bookie. I haven't got one.
What about that guy Vinny you always talk about?
I don't know anyone named Vinny. You see what some of the tickets are going for at Wrigley?
Yeah,
and stuff
I have that story up, as a matter of fact. At Wrigley, it's super high. But here's what you got in Cleveland. The average asking price for the four games scheduled for Cleveland, including the series opener on Tuesday night, is about $3,900, according to the ticket tracker Ticket IQ. A ticket for the deciding Game 7, which would be played on November 2nd, could cost $5,000. But that is a bargain compared with what it'll cost to get into Games 3, 4, and 5 at Wrigley Field.
Really?
in Chicago, where the average asking price is $7,200 per seat. How do you do?
A lot of that's standing room, too, isn't it?
The prices dwarf recent World Series games. Tickets for the three games in New York last year to see the Mets play the Royals only cost an average of $1,600. So this is, 4X.
I saw some on StubHub last night. They had a group of 14 of them behind home plate, below the press box. They were asking for $420,000 apiece. I guess you can put any figure there.
Right. Yeah, I don't think someone's going to pay $420,000 for a ticket.
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, Nevada has the Cubs -190. Somebody screenshotted to me since it's not working for me. And that means the Indians are +170. So the cat, if you want a small taste, that's a nice value.
So if I put 50 down, I win how much?
Doug, 85 is the answer.
Yeah.
But for the life of me, I can't figure out the Indians, but if it holds true to me getting World Series picks wrong, the Indians will win the World Series. Because when I have said in advance of the postseason, 4 years now on the radio, that's the one team I can't possibly see winning the World Series. That is the team that has won the World Series. I said it at the start of the playoffs this year, the Indians are the one team I can't see winning the World Series. And they have looked, they've looked better than the Cubs have because of their pitching.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you sweep the Sox and you beat Toronto
and hold them in check.
Five.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hold them in check in a big way offensively. And those are two of those lineups. I don't know. Corey Kluber is going to get the start tomorrow.
Kevin has sprained his ankle in the celebration.
It's a celebration.
Twisted his ankle, Doug.
Did he? The Cubs are just so darn good, though. That infield is very young, and they're going to be around together for another 4 or 5 years.
Schwarber's going to be back.
Yeah, I guess the only weakness maybe is that their pitching will get a little old between Lester, Arrieta, Lackey. Hendricks was Cy Young caliber this year, but he's never been that before. Hamill's just kind of a guy. But there's a chance over the next year or two that some of their pitching could get a little bit old, I think. That's the only
I wonder if, on the surface, you say, no, we're not going to worry about what the Cubs are doing. But if you're the Cardinals and the Cubs are sprinting towards a World Series title, are you more aggressive trying to keep up with the Joneses? I wonder. You know, the Cardinals know what they're doing. They have their own system. But I wonder if that does factor in at all.
Oh, I think it definitely does, yeah. They'll have to be more aggressive. And I think that they would want to do it by getting the best starting pitching staff that you could. Because there you can be highly competitive with, you know, four or five great guys instead of a whole lineup full. The Cardinals won 100 games just a year ago, and they did it with pitching.
Wasn't even a sweat on Saturday for those of us pulling for the Dodgers. It wasn't even close. Not even a sweat.
Nope. Early on, you knew it was going to be a tough watch.
And Kyle Hendricks allowed 2 hits, I think, over 7 1/3. And Aroldis Chapman shipped it. 6-4-3 double play on Yasiel Puig. And that led to this interview in the stands after the game. Ken Rosenthal finding an older woman who had been waiting to see the Cubs advance to the World Series for the vast majority of her life. And here is what she had to say. Fun with audio.
You're still going. Now, how are you going to celebrate tonight?
Who knows?
I probably have a Jägermeister.
All right, Dorothy. Thank you very much. Enjoy it.
Doug, Dorothy was going to have a Jägermeister.
Yeah, that's funny. Funny stuff.
But... how about our boy Plowsy trending in St. Louis on the Twitter? Did you know that?
No. What did
he
say?
He got off a great tweet.
What did he say?
And, I don't even know what...
I wasn't even aware of this.
I don't even know how to find that, except our friend Charlie Marlowe, who I love very much.
Did Charlie, by chance, it?
He tweeted it, and that Plowsy was trending, and so I clicked on that, and he was.
Oh, wow. You can't go wrong with a shot at Jason Hayward in St. Louis. Getting an A on a group project when you didn't do anything. This is what it looks like. And it's an interview and Hayward celebrating in the Cubs locker room.
His goggles.
Interviewed and with his postseason batting average of .071.
It's got to the point I feel sorry for him because he really was a good guy.
He still is.
Yeah. And he just looks overmatched. He just looks like he doesn't have a chance to get a hit at this point.
Hatred for him in St. Louis is something that kind of confounds me, I have to say.
Because it was clear that the Cardinals... shouldn't pay that amount.
Yes.
And so someone else was willing, and so he went somewhere else. I don't get that.
But also, he wanted to live in Chicago and be part of a younger group of guys that he thought was a better fit. I mean, we all choose jobs over the course of our lives and what we think is the better fit. Then do we get hated on for that?
Yeah.
Well, Doug hates on himself for choosing this one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Self-loathing.
What do you suppose he'll do with Hayward in the series? You can't play him anymore, can you?
You want him to be your DH, so you have that. That's nice.
I don't think so.
Wit.
I don't know what they'll do with him. Not just this year, but, you know, for the years to come.
In fairness, he's a really good defensive replacement at a very reasonable cost.
What?
Well, you need to spend more than $20 million a year for a defensive right fielder?
The right guy.
Yep.
You don't know anything about baseball.
Yeah, well, apparently not.
Pay attention, yeah, boy.
I see most of them catching the fly ball.
Sometimes,
right
Doug,
field.
It's not the best guys. It's the right guys.
The best sweat of the game on Saturday night came in the seventh inning stretch. Doug, what was Scottie Pippen's number? Number 33. Am I right on that or am I wrong on that? What was Scottie Pippen's number?
I don't know numbers.
Well, either way, he sang the seventh inning stretch, take me out to the ball game at Wrigley Field.
Good voice, too.
I'm going to need your help, okay?
Sure.
How about it? A one, a two, a three. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the ball.
To the what?
The ball. He's taking the ball.
I don't care if I'm...
That's the wrong line.
Never come back or it's rude. Who wrote for the Cubbies? Yeah! They don't win, it's a shame.
Has he ever tried to sing before?
No! Three strikes are out at the ball game. Let's go, Cubbies!
You think he'd been nipping at the cooking, Sherry? I mean, you can't be that bad, can you?
Who's Paul?
You take a Paul. You find out, you know, who you what you think is the creepiest, ghouls or Frankensteins or mummies.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he meant Paul Molitor.
No, I don't think he was talking about Molly. That was as bad as I've heard, I think.
Tim, I think the STL Today comment section give you a couple reasons to hate Hayward. Thanks. That's from the Wright City Lemming. Let's see. The Cardinals were willing to pay the money. The cat, they offered him the money. That's from the 314.
Yeah, they did. And boy, they're happy that they didn't get him now.
Well, they also gave him outs in the contract in Chicago, which is like money.
Which he won't be accepting. He's got to get a turnaround. He can't be this bad. He can't have lost all of his talent just immediately without an injury or anything.
I mean, he is... Trust me, he is a nice man.
He is
a good
person. He was a heck of a player here. He was as good as anybody they had at the end of last year. He was really solid. And that's why we were sorry to see him go. A guy right in his prime that we definitely wanted to stay here that played very well at the end of the year.
That's not true. That's not true. I didn't want him to stay here for that kind of
dollar. I wanted not the money. I didn't want him to stay here.
What
I wanted
the
player. But that's reality.
Yeah.
That has to be
I wanted the player without the money. And we said that many times. We got many arguments here with people. We were saying, no, he's not worth it. He doesn't hit enough.
Right. Nobody wanted. I mean, for that, I don't know about other shows or columns or whatever else, but I know that here, it's the same thing with the Pools thing. But yeah. I wasn't mad at Albert about that. I totally got it. And I was happy for the Cardinals' sake that they didn't do it. In the moment. Judgment in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, with that money not tied up, what if they went out and got a center fielder?
Yeah. You know, the bizarre thing is with Pujols, the last couple years, he would have fit in really nicely with what they had. If he'd hit 30 home runs and driven in 100 here, we'd have been very happy. Because that's what he's done the last couple years. I don't know how much he can run around anymore and play first base or run the bases like nobody's
watching. How many years left
him
in the contract? I think the fear, not that he wasn't on a yearly basis worth what, you know, he was due, that he would break down and... It's a long contract, and there'd be a lot of dead money at the end.
Yeah, but I thought that initially when he went out there, he didn't do much at all, and it was, oh, good Lord, thank God that he didn't sign here. But the last couple of years, he's been good.
And the Angels are on the brink of being a world championship.
No, it didn't really help them.
They need good pitching? we got good pitching.
We got good pitching. They got good pitching. They got good defense. We got good defense. They got a good ball club. We got a good ball club.
They probably they got a good money. We got a good money. Trout.
Yeah, Trout would look good here, wouldn't he?
And what do we give him? Like, I don't know, Greg Garcia and maybe Jaime?
Sure.
Hey, we'll give you two Garcias.
Doug, I shipped the fourth place spot in the TMA DraftKings game, so I've got $150 burning a hole in my pocket and was wondering how much you charge for a slow dance. It's from Stubby Applause.
I don't dance with other gentlemen.
Have
Walter
you danced with
okay, Peyton? Yeah, you. He was the only one, but he didn't pay me.
Seems like you're arguing with yourself
he
a little
bit.
He
didn't have to. I just pointed out the exception to the rule.
Tony Dode has posted this poll on the fan pin. That's the TMA fan page on Facebook. Doug, you ought to join it. I'll
Why?
Approve you right now. I'll
Why?
Approve you right now.
What's on there that
Here's the
would
question.
Suit me?
Which is most harrowing? Demons, Draculas, mummies, ghouls, Frankensteins, ghosts, skeletons, wolfmen, zombies. How would you vote?
I would say demons, just due to the definition of the word.
Yeah, demons is winning. That's interesting.
You can have your own personal demons. I don't think you can really have your own personal
what are yours?
Ghouls. Or
what
anything.
Are your personal demons?
Talk about demon rum, right?
Yeah, rum.
Is that what it is?
Definitely rum from my days of sailing the high seas.
I would say that my heart is too big for my own good, you know?
Is it? You're too
always,
nice a person.
Yes, you know? Yes, thank okay. you. And thank you for ringing the bell.
And I guess ghost would be second, because there's still a possibility that there are ghosts out there.
You never saw a ghost.
I think wolfmen are in the definitely second or third.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see any wolfmen. See, I think we can eliminate that.
Guess you've never seen Teen Wolf with the wonderful Michael J. Fox. And it was a great baseball.
Why didn't he put Yetis player. In there? They're real and they're scary.
They're not
surfing
real.
Surfing on his van.
I don't doubt that there's a possibility that there are things we don't yet understand. That there could be a ghost type thing. That's possible.
Way to go on a limb there.
Have you watched Stranger Things?
No.
You gotta watch it. That'll make you think.
What I like is when you watch the ghost shows on, I forget what channel they're on. There's one channel that specializes in hauntings. And they always go in and it's always edited. So, something happened we don't know. And they listen back to the tape and it's like,
get out.
A voice told him to get out.
Yeah.
But of course, it had to be processed and entered into the computer.
It's always on, I think it's Discovery and Travel Channel. I think they both do them. Although I now.
And they did a live special at the St. Louis Haunted House. What, 8 months ago or something?
The Limp Mansion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Limp Mansion.
And they didn't find anything.
Doug, did you find that to be harrowing?
I would like to go to the Limp Mansion. They had like several people in that family commit suicide. A really horrible story that family, what happened to that family.
Well, you had to do a remote.
And I've told you about the incidents in my own house that I thought it
was. Yeah, but it was
haunted.
Raccoons.
That was a separate incident. I haven't had anything happen in 5-6 years, so that's good. Maybe the ghost moved along.
Where did it go? What are they? Do they go to Miami at a certain age?
I think
retire?
During the winter they probably retire there.
There's some ghost walking into a free buffet at a hotel he's not staying, going, anyone need a ride to the ballpark?
Would you accept a ride like that
if
you're hanging around a hotel lobby and a stranger walks in and says, hey, anyone need a ride to the ballpark? You would go, wouldn't you?
If he looked like you, because you look like a trustworthy
But if it was
store.
A ghost.
A ghost, I'd be terrified. Right. But I've never seen a ghost. I'm sure that there
I
are.
I haven't either. I've had some things happen in my house that I have no explanation for whatsoever.
Like
in
you couldn't find.
House. But to actually see a ghost, no.
Like you couldn't, like all of a sudden, your all your underwear from the drawer disappeared.
No. That was a laundry issue. Separate to the ghost issue.
In my house. You ever had a ghost experience?
I don't believe so.
Me neither. I want to.
I had a friend who had a UFO experience once.
What happened?
And when you're the one who sees it, it's I guess it seems very real, but when you tell it to somebody, they all just think you're
a complete
idiot.
So what did he say happened, baby? What did he say happened?
He lived in Trenton, Missouri. He's a friend in high school. I guess a small town in Trenton. And he came home one night, about 5 or 6 o'clock at night, and there was a huge, what he said was a flying saucer type thing above his house that he stared at for 30 seconds, 45 seconds, and then it just vanished. And he says
it just vanished like it didn't fly?
Well, it flew away at a high rate of speed. He said he would swear on the stack of Bibles that's what he saw. Of course, no one believes him.
Did he snap a pic?
He didn't snap. This was before cell phones. I mean,
he would have had to have a
Polaroid swinger with him.
Mm. I like having a Polaroid with me.
In my hometown, there's in Nyack, New York, there's a famous haunted house. And I've told this story before, but it is kind of chilling. People I know were at a teen makeout party in the kid's basement next door, and the lights were out. And then all of a sudden, the lights go on, and there's some ghost standing there dressed in colonial soldier wear, like dressed as a colonial soldier. Lights go on, and he just this guy looked around, gave a disapproving look, and the lights went out. And people I know swear it happened.
And more than one or two people saw that.
And this colonial ghost, I mean, it's documented that this house has had this haunting with this colonial fella, and they saw it in the house next door. People I know.
Wow. Where is this?
Nyack, New York.
I got to look this up.
Rockland County.
That's more harrowing than Wolfman, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, because Wolfman are not.
And another guy I know said he saw it outside. He was in his house, and he saw it out his window.
So it's like out in the yard, like gardening?
It's around the neighborhood, I guess.
Why doesn't it leave? I mean, Nyack's nice and everything, but...
It's nestled right on the Hudson, so I could see people
wanting
to stay.
Property values have skyrocketed there. He's probably trying to hang on to his place.
Guys, I'd make out with a ghost or alien if it looked like Doug. Thanks, Grimy South County.
All right, Grimy.
I would say if the ghost looked like you, I would maybe take the ride, just because you look trustworthy.
I would.
You look like a friendly ghost.
I get back to the premise that it is possible, as humans, there are things that we don't quite understand. You look at like certain animals who have their own thing going on, and they think they're living a normal life, and they have no clue what we're doing. They have no idea that there's another power that's greatly more intelligent than they are.
So which is more?
They don't know. So there's a possibility that there's something much, much higher and more intelligent than us.
Which is more likely to exist? UFOs, ghosts, or Bigfoot?
Well, certainly not Bigfoot.
Well, a lot of people disagree. There's a show that I watch all the time.
There's one
they never find anything, but still say it's Squatch.
The guy who got an outfit of Johnny Brock's and walked through the woods for 5 seconds. That's it. That's what Bigfoot's based on.
Except for the fact they do the scientific investigations, and then they never hear or see any Bigfoot, but then they still say it's Squatchy.
Yeah, the whole area is Squatchy.
I mean, I'm all in on life in the universe. I mean, it's like a lock.
But not coming here. Why would they come
here? I don't know about coming here. I have no idea on that.
But that's what a UFO is.
It's a five-star lock. Hell, I think there may have been life, not necessarily like human life, on Mars, but life. So that's just the next door planet, much less with billions of stars. What was it last week? They said there are a trillion galaxies.
Yeah.
I mean,
and if there's some civilization that had a 10 billion year head start on us, you consider our, in this country, we went from riding horses to a guy standing on the moon in about 50 years. That's where technology took off.
So can you imagine the quality of their fleshlights?
Well, that's not really where I was going with that. I was just thinking, if you had a several billion year head start on the human race, maybe you have figured out how to travel at the speed of light.
Like space and time. Huh.
Every time I watch one of these specials that claims to get to the heart of whatever these mysteries are, it's always disappointing. It's like Al Capone's vault. I watched this thing, I guess it had aired already, and so I recorded who is D.B. Cooper? Are you familiar with D.B.
Yeah,
Cooper?
Sure. He hijacked the plane and got away with the money.
Yeah, and it was 4 hours, and I watched the first two, and it seemed really compelling, and then as I watched the second, no one knows the end. That's how it ended. And the funny thing is,
he parachuted out of a commercial jetliner with a bag of money.
$200,000. And then some of the money turned up $6,000 worth, and they never figured out who this guy was. It's a pretty remarkable story. I mean, they have no idea. But the funny part is, you talk about lady journalism, everyone's heard of D.B. Cooper. But originally, it was Dan Cooper. The reason why people call him D.B. Cooper is that the original guy who took the report for Associated Press was getting this hijack information after calling police, after hearing it on the scanner. And he said, is that Dan Cooper with a D or is it B. Cooper? And the cop said yes, so he wrote D.B. Cooper. All on a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Plow Flame, have you had any ghost experiences or UFO experiences? They seem oftentimes to happen in rural areas, as Doug just cited in Trenton.
Yeah, actually, one time it was me and my sister and one of her friends.
And that was Reef.
No, one of her friends. So
but Reef's a friend to all, so it's a problem.
Reef is the best American ever. Yes, he's fantastic.
Were you lit at the time?
He looks exactly like Harry Potter if Harry Potter was 4'11". I was high as hell. Yeah, that's why people won't believe me. But my sister is a genius. She has 2 master's degrees. She just is smart. So people believe her that we were driving around in a cornfield in the middle of nowhere, and you see it.
Why would you drive in a cornfield?
That's what you did in Canton. Let me tell you, it was fun.
In the cornfield.
Don't you ruin the corn?
Or around in the roads surrounding
the corn? No, in the roads surrounding the corn.
Looking for what?
The Babylon Bridge is where we used to go and medicate at.
Oh, the old Babylon Bridge.
Yeah, and so we were on our way there. It was about a 45-minute trek, and we saw a UFO, and we tried to follow it.
Why would you drive 45 minutes for a place to smoke?
Well, when you're out in the country already.
Well, we actually smoke on the way to Babylon, but we reward ourselves again by getting to the destination by smoking more.
Gotcha.
And then
the whole story seems to be unraveling.
Back.
It's kind of like sky pigs. It's very similar to sky pigs once they get to cruising altitude.
I told you at the beginning I was, yes, highly medicated, but it did happen, and we saw some sort of lights, and we tried to follow it, and it just... Kind of what similar to what Doug said, you kind of lose track of it and it's gone.
Yeah, but did you see like it was a saucer? Could it have been something else? Because usually these things are explainable. I'm not ruling it out totally, but most times they are.
Usually it's military type. Well, there's been a lot seen around St. Louis where they come from Scott Air Force Base.
Yeah. So it could be. I'm not saying it was a UFO, but to me it looked like it. But however, I was 16 years old and.
Hi.
And the sightings are going to increase now as we get into drone technology, and people are flying around little objects for real with nothing in it, with lights and things.
Yeah, but what if these drones actually captured a UFO? Huh? Think about that.
That would be different.
My drone has a strap-on on it, so you'll know it's
mine. Oh, that's Tim's. I can see it.
So don't think it's a UFO, Doug.
I won't.
Guys, girl with an odor was able to levitate a man with her mind. Weird stuff's out there. Like, what's that mean?
The girl with an
odor.
Are we
talking about the bachelorette again?
Yeah, she was a bachelorette. Did she ever levitate somebody?
I didn't
know
that she did that.
I don't remember that either. I've seen the pictures where it looks like someone's levitating above a bed, and then it turns out he was just bouncing on the bed, and they took the picture when he happened to be bouncing up in the air. Very clever.
Doug, can Life on Other Planets podcast like the Dickens? Thanks. That's from 6188.
They probably figured that out a long time ago.
I was also going to ask about this, and nobody really knows, but do like alien or other life forms, do they trib or do they have relationships?
Okay, Plowsy. Okay.
Because if they have relationships, probably male, female, but I didn't know.
You assume that advanced civilizations were only involved in hetero play?
Well, like Doug said, if they get a 10 whatever billion year head start or whatever, maybe they do... find tribbing appealing, and you know, I don't know, it's just something I would like
Plowsy,
to ask.
Maybe they have genders that we don't even know about.
It's too bad Carl Sagan's dead. You could have asked him that question.
Oh, you get Neil Tyson on.
See, this Plowsy's the kind of guy that when I watch one of these specials, he's one of the eyewitnesses. I saw a UFO. We were smoking some weed over in the cornfield.
Plowsy and Cooter both saw it.
Doug, it's going to be unbelievable. We'll talk a lot of UFOs at Hot Shots on November 10th, Jackie Papers, because we will be doing TMA live at Hot Shots on November 10th, and it is unreal because Bonnie Raitt is going to be in attendance with us.
Bonnie Raitt, singer.
No. Something to talk about, but this is Bonnie Raitt.
Bonnie Franklin.
No. One day at a time. This is Bonnie Raitt.
Are you worried about the health of her grandmothers?
No, because she's in town to feature.
She is. So even if Grandma dies, she's going to stay and get her money.
Yeah, she's a big Raider fan. Beware the Raiders.
Now, what do? You put her in some sort of tent?
Oh, I'm not responsible for her stay.
We should put her in some sort of plastic tent just to assure the air quality.
Right.
Let's see. I once saw a UFO headed right for me. Turned out to be the lone headlight of Doug's LeBaron. He pulled up and simply muttered, "Who's big for you?" I still use that. That's from Mitch Terrific Stuff Cumstein.
He took time out of his day to write that into us.
It's pretty good.
It isn't that good.
It's pretty good. It made me giggle.
Terry Yake is going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour blues. And look at old David Perron on Saturday night. Blues go 1-1-1 Western Canadian road trip. back in St. Louis now to take on the Calgary Flames.
Got a little dicey towards the end, Dougie. Did you see that? Got a little dicey at the end.
I didn't see it. No.
Why?
You were outside of my house in Columbia.
This was Batters Bin?
Right.
I was driving back home from Columbia.
Car got a radio, doesn't it, boy?
I was listening to the Cubs game.
Wow, wow, wow.
Sorry. Listen, I couldn't be any sorrier.
I hope Caruso doesn't hear about this. Next time you go knock, knock, knocking for some free ticks.
You would have listened to the Blues game that night over the Cubs?
Yes, sir.
You wouldn't? Right. Well, I won't do it next time, that's for sure, because I don't want to get on your bed. So.
You know what I do now, though? If I'm home, I use the Fox Sports Go app because I can watch.
And then you watch both of them.
Yeah. That's really a good thing.
Yeah. So Terry Yake's going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. Plus, for the email of the day, we're giving away two tickets to the Blues and Flames game tomorrow night. That is our prize for the email of the day. Doug, Ryan Kelly is the title sponsor of this show. It's important that our listeners make sure they support the sponsors. Otherwise, this thing could just go away.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
some of our listeners actually have jobs, and they live indoors, and they are looking at houses to buy, maybe a newer house. And they're saying, well, geez, it sure would be nice to have a nice mortgage. I wonder where I would get that. Well, Ryan Kelly is the guy you go to. He's the guy you call for the lowest rates and the best service. Maybe you have a mortgage for a while and you have a loan rate that's like in the fours and the fives maybe. Well, you need to refinance in that case. You call Ryan Kelly and he'll get you taken care of. The whole process is very simple, very easy to do. He'll take care of you right and you can save hundreds of dollars a month. Tens of thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Right now, they have 15-year loans in the twos and 30-year fixed-rate mortgages in the threes. So you really need to give Ryan Kelly a call and let his team take care of you. Here's the phone number, 314-781-9700. And he's got a website, too, where you can go and get more information, even get the loan process started. And that website would be thehomeloanexpert.com. I'll assume you know how to spell thehomeloanexpert.com. That's the Home Loan Expert, LLC, Ryan Kelly, number one in the Midwest for most loans closed.
We'll take a break. Come back with Terry Yake talking Blues hockey. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After.